In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. That Good Friday and Easter Sunday, their entire worlds were shattered. Everything that they thought they knew crumbled in front of them. It had started with the crucifixion of their Master and Lord, Jesus. Crucifixion, failure, defeat at the hands of the authorities. No way could he be the Messiah. He was dead. But then 3 days later, as he stood before them and shared food with them and had them touch his very flesh, their world continued to shatter. Everything that they thought they knew was now thrown out. Death, the most certain thing in all of our lives, the one thing we feel like we can count on, they couldn't count on death anymore. Here stood Jesus in the flesh. They could touch him. He was eating with them. Everything that they thought they knew, out the window. And Jesus had studied with them that day, and we learned last week that he opened their minds to the scriptures. He walked through the law and the prophets and the Psalms, and he showed them that this was in fact expected. The prophets had yearned for this time, this inbreaking of a radically new world that would turn up into down and left into right. Ezekiel would have been one of those prophets that Jesus would have opened their minds to. Ezekiel in 597 BC was part of the first capture of the Babylonians of God's people in Israel. The first group was hauled off into exile into Babylon. And there Ezekiel was called and appointed by the Lord to be a prophet. You will speak my word to my people in the midst of this dark time. And for the next 12 years, Ezekiel began to preach, warning not only those who were in exile in Babylon with him, but warning those back in Jerusalem that if they did not repent and turn back to the Lord, forsaking their alliances with Assyria and Babylon and Egypt and playing these political games, if they did not change their ways, more destruction, exile was coming. And Ezekiel preached, and he was ignored. And after 12 years in 586 BC, all of his warnings came to a head. The Babylonians, led by Nebuchadnezzar, stepped in to the land of Israel, went to Jerusalem, and destroyed it. Wiped out their city, burned the sacred temple that Solomon had built to the ground. All was lost. And the people were hauled off into slavery in Babylon. And with the new arrivees in Babylon and everything having collapsed around them, Ezekiel continued to preach. And his tone started to take a shift. He continued to condemn the rulers and priests and kings that the people had relied on that got them into this trouble. But then Ezekiel started to see something new. A restoration to come. He saw the devastation and collapse of their lives and saw that God was going to do something beautiful in the midst of the death and collapse. God's people had profaned his name for generations. The commandment had said, do not take the Lord's name in vain. And they had done that not by using his name when they hurt themselves, but by putting his name upon themselves and living lives that embarrassed God. They profaned and shamed his name by saying, we are the Lord's people, and yet living in the violence, the greed, the selfishness of the nations around them. And Ezekiel told the people that even though you have profaned the name of the Lord, he is going to rescue you. He's going to grab you out of your slavery in Babylon and pull you out of there. And he is going to work within your lives and give you a new heart and a new spirit so that you will obey his word and no longer be profanity in this world by mocking his name. But you will bear his name and live it rightly, bringing glory and praise to all the nations. Now, in the days of Jesus, the people of Israel knew that Ezekiel's prophecy had never been fulfilled. They had hoped as they had rebuilt the temple, but they knew that God's restoration had never really taken place. They were still slaves in bondage under the Roman Empire. But now the disciples, having had their whole world shattered by the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, start to have their minds opened that maybe what Ezekiel had been preaching about is being fulfilled in their very midst. Jesus had been that good shepherd that Ezekiel had foretold, that would go forth into the people, grabbing the people out of their rebellion against God and calling them into a new life. Follow me, he had said, and leave everything of your old world behind. I will lead you with my voice. And he had started to work within their hearts, softening their hearts. And he had promised there the disciples, in his final words with them in Luke 24, that wait in Jerusalem, God is going to send his power and spirit upon you. He will transform you from the inside out. You will be a new people that will no longer profane his name among the nations. The disciples were starting to see it, that Jesus was the fulfillment of the hope of Ezekiel for restoration. Are we, as Christians in America, are we not a lot like Israel in the time of Ezekiel? We've proudly taken the name of the Lord upon ourselves, but have we profaned that name among the nations? Have we shamed God by saying, yes, we bear his name, and yet the nations look at us and laugh. You're God's people? You sure? The disciples, as they have journeyed with Jesus through Luke's gospel, I believe experienced the same thing. As they had continued to take the name of the Lord upon themselves, they continued to fail and stray. They continued to make a mockery of what Jesus was about as they denied him, betrayed him, abandoned him in the darkest moments. And I believe as Jesus opened the eyes and minds of his disciples that Easter morning, they started to see how the cross and the resurrection all fit together as the great fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy. That in their abandonment, in their failure, their betrayals, their denials, their worlds that they knew, the worlds that they held on to with iron-tight grip, was collapsing. And at the cross, and at the resurrection, as everything that they knew was shattered and thrown on its head, they were broken so completely. And I believe they began to see from Ezekiel's words and all the prophets and from Jesus himself that it was in that brokenness, in the collapse of their old lives, that God had them right where he wanted. Jesus had called them all, take up your own cross. Embrace the collapse of your life. Embrace the destruction of your dreams, your plans, the familiar habits that you love going back to. Embrace the collapse and destruction of all that's familiar to you. And it's there in the cross of having lost it all, and in the resurrection of seeing new life where new life should not be, that God is starting to do something new. God is restoring the world, raising new life from the ashes. A new life that is not part of our designs, not part of our dreams, not part of our plans, not even part of our hopes and desires. This is life on God's terms. In His way, as foolish and as insane as it may look, new life, God's way. In the losing of everything, the disciples started to see God was most present. And His restoration work was beginning in their lives. They had nothing. Even the security of certainty, the things like death, they didn't even have that to cling to anymore. They had nothing except for God. And that's exactly where He wanted them. For us this day, do we still need the work of the cross in our lives as Christians? Yes. May we see that the work of the cross, the collapse that Ezekiel foretells, the collapse that the disciples experienced, the collapse that Jesus experienced, is God's good work in our lives. He wants you to come crashing down, because there in the nothingness, He will rebuild something better than you ever imagined. No eye has seen or ear has heard the beauty and the majesty and the goodness of what the Lord is going to rebuild from the ashes of our hopes and dreams. A new world, better than anything we could imagine, is here. And the disciples began to see it. And as they went on to embrace their own crosses and the work of resurrection in their lives, they participated in the kingdom of God, the hope of the world. May we see Jesus as the hope of the world in all of His foolishness, in all of the collapse and failure of the cross. Would we see with new eyes, a new heart, a new spirit, that this is the work of God to set the world right in a way that we would never imagine, but in a way that is truly good. Amen.